deposit available for a limited time, you can get into your own home with startpointhomes.com.au.
If you're in ISO, the biggest show getting around, the most popular in the country at the moment, is streaming on Netflix. It's called Tiger King. Now, it is about a man or various people who live in the US and have tiger sanctuaries. Now, Joe, the alleged Tiger King, it's not giving anything away. He's ended up in a spot of bother. He's actually in jail at the moment. But the story is the six episodes cover the whole scenario, how these communities are interconnected. Here's a little grab of what goes on.
My name's Joe Exotic and this is Sarge.
He was like a mythical character living out in the middle of bum Oklahoma who owned 1,200 tigers and lions and bears and
come here, love me.
Matt spoken, good looking, love to party and have fun.
I don't think we're done blowing today.
I don't figure you are.
Oh, this show's the best.
This is incredible. It captures you. And we are now joined all the way from Charleston, South Carolina. One of the people who features in this show is a big part of it, big part of the tiger, the big cat community over there in the States. Doc Antle, welcome to the show, Doc.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Now, Doc, are you surprised that now that the show's been released, how big it's blown up around the world?
I think it's, you know, partly because we're all locked inside and we've got nothing to do, and there's this incredible story of murder, mayhem, and madness that you can tune into for seven episodes, and it's kind of an escape from reality. You know, main thing to remember about this show is it is not a documentary. It is a sensational ride down the director's story path, but it is outrageous and unique.
Well, it is, Doc, and it takes you on this, as you said, murder, mayhem, madness. Now, when you say it's not a documentary, because I'll be honest, a lot of us are watching it as a documentary, what parts aren't real? What wasn't true, a true reflection?
The director created a story by coming and speaking to the various entities and telling all of them a completely different tale of what he was pursuing and what kind of story he was trying to write to try and gain access to different aspects of their lives and activities and what they had to say about each other, and just kind of made it a war that went on. Mostly, it's Carol Baskin, the wild child of Big Cat Rescue, and Joe Exotic, the guy who's kind of seems off his rocker, living in his own universe there of GW Exotics in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma.
Now, mate, Joe was married to two men, and you've got about four wives. How does that happen?
I had 9, 12, 4, all the numbers quit flipping around. Look, 25 years ago, my wife died in a car crash, and my two oldest kids came from her. That's the last time I was married. I am a guy who does date. I live alone in a house. I've had girlfriends throughout my life. I've got a few now. They certainly know about each other, but I am by no means married to anybody. I certainly don't have a harem that they're kind of suggesting. This is all just some kind of wild mess.
Player.
Doc, I've got to ask you, even we talk about Joe Exotic's setup and the fact that he's married to these two guys, and then it got revealed through the documentary that they're actually straight, but they married Doc because they want access to the big cats. Is that the way you saw it too? Is that what it takes?
Well, first of all, you said they married Doc. Wow, I hope not.
Oh, no, Joe, sorry.
I'm definitely married Joe.
There you go.
Yep.
Come on. How straight can you be to roll yourself up in bed with Joe Exotic? I mean, I think the line of straight got pretty crooked there.
Not as straight as they thought, perhaps. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know that this is selling your soul to be involved in something if somehow you really aren't attracted in that capacity. I've met these guys. You know, I know them, but I don't have any kind of long friendship with them. I've seen them half a dozen times at conferences and been around them for different activities that happen around big cats. I mean, they seem a pretty gay lot. They do. You see these gentlemen and you don't look at them and go, oh, those are just regular old fellas. You look at them and say, those guys are swinging to the other side and purposefully acting like it. who has permanent makeup on their face, eyeliner and, you know, diamonds in their teeth and the look. They're not rap stars. They are eccentric gay cowboys. That's a whole other universe.
Doc, do you know how Joe is going in jail? Does anyone have an update on how he is?
I've gotten some calls back and forth. His husband has texted me asking me how the series has gone and what's gone along.
How long's he going to be in jail for, Doc? Do you know?
He is supposed to be in for 22 years. You know, in the States, wow. 22 years doesn't mean that you stay that whole time. But I'm sure if it just flows, he's going to end up serving 50 to 70% of that. I know he's going for an appeal. Cardi B, the rap artist lady, she's got a GoFundMe page up for him, trying to raise money and get on the Free Joe bandwagon. Hashtag Free Joe is flowing across social media.
Wow.
And there's a lot of people, you know, waving a Joe flag. So maybe it'll get some attention. The show is certainly a monster of information flowing around the world.
Well, Doc, you definitely came out of it as the guy, the neutral factor, the neutral element in the middle. We loved being exposed to you. And just quickly on that, at the end of the day, who are you, Team Joe or Team Carol?
Oh, I mean, if I had to pick a team, it would never be Carol. Joe is a wild child that let himself get carried away with the ideas of fame and fortune. All he ever wanted to be famous was famous, and it seems like he got there now, you know, so it's in that capacity.
Well, Doc, thank you for your time on the hottest show in the world right now. Would Joe Exotic know, within prison, I don't know what his access is like to the internet, would he know he is probably now the most famous person on the planet? Would he know that right now?
He knows the premise, you know, but he's kind of in lockdown. I've heard that the memes are what he's getting, you know, so keep churning out those memes. The guards come up to him and kind of show him a cell phone now and then. And he's been able to see some of it, but he has not been able to watch the show. They've just been like showing him clips while the other guy's backs are turned.
So keep sending him memes in prison. Wow. There he is. So thank you, Doc Antle there, Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem and Madness. For those who haven't seen it, which would be very few people here in Australia, available to stream on Netflix.
101.9 The Fox.
It's often hard during this period and this crisis that we're in as a country to figure out what's going on and what news is real and what we're supposed to pay attention to. And a doctor who's really cut through a lot of this from the get-go, weeks ago we were responding to and seeing the post by Dr. Swan. He's a Sydney doctor and he's right across the COVID-19 public health crisis. And we've got him back on the show. Dr. Swan, thank you for joining us again.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, Doctor, we've heard over the past 24 hours there's a few news stories out there saying good news, there's hope, the curve is flattening, the number of infections are dropping and not doubling at the rate that they were a week ago. But what really is going on, Doctor? How do you interpret that?
Yeah, so that's true, and it's great news to see that curve flatten and the number of new cases come down, but it's really important that the community understands that there's a catch there. The reason that that's happened is that all the cases that are relatively easy to find, or all the things we can really quite simply do by shutting the borders, have now all been done by the government a couple of weeks ago. So we were always going to see a flattening of the curve by shutting the borders, stopping people traveling in from America and Europe. And that was always going to reduce the number of cases here in Australia. But now that that's happened, you know, we still need to really work hard on preventing what we call community transmission. So those cases that occur from one person to another person when they don't even know that they have coronavirus. The way I put it is when you do a puzzle, you know, those bits around the edges of the puzzle, they're the easy bits, right? And then you're left with the really difficult bits in the middle. That's where we are now. We've done the outside, we've done the easy part, and now we're left with the really, really difficult work to prevent community transmission and stop that curve going up again.
So, Doctor, I mean, people might be reading that thinking, oh, this is good, I might go outside again. That is definitely not the communication, though, is it? Even if we see an improvement, it doesn't mean anyone can leave isolation.
Absolutely. So wait, right, we now need to double down on our efforts at social distancing and social isolation. Now's the critical time. If we can get community transmission down, then we buy ourselves a lot of time to do two things, which is to prepare our public hospitals for the surge in cases to try and cope with that. But most importantly, every single day that we can buy ourselves, it buys ourselves time to roll out more testing. And testing is the absolute key to controlling the epidemic. Australia's been ramping up its testing capabilities in the laboratories all around the country. And so we need to buy those public health units and the doctors as much time as possible to roll out that testing to find all of those cases in the community.
So in your view, Doc, how much longer do you reckon the Australian people have to be isolated for?
Yeah, it's a really tough one. The honest truth is that we're in for a pretty long freeze, right? The government has also said that we're likely to be in this type of situation for at least a couple of months, possibly longer, and it's going to be a really tough time for everybody. We've just started to get used to living our lives in a completely different way. There's always a period of adjustment that's difficult, and the truth is that we're going to be like this for a little while.
All right, Dr. Swan, we appreciate that. And you're a great resource for us to check in with whenever we can. So thanks again. That's Dr. Swan in Sydney, who's been right across this from the start. Thanks for your time, mate.
Cheers.
You're listening to Highlights of Fifi, Bev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To hear the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch-Up podcast, exclusive to the Fox app.
We have Conrad Sewell at his house in self-isolation, as so many musos have been. You'll know Conrad from all of these hits. And he was also part of that massive show. How good was the Artists Unite for Firefight? That is now an album, which is going really well, available to stream or download now, with all proceeds going to the Sony Foundation to help young people in affected areas. And even in this tough time, people are still forking out and streaming that, which is awesome news. Hopefully Conrad is available. We are standing by for him as we speak. FIFA, just a slight nervous wait. I mean, this is live isolated radio, isn't it?
It is, and he's in LA, and I think he's here. Are you there, Conrad?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey.
Happy birthday!
Thank you so much. It's a different one, that's for sure. Making the most of it.
Conrad, talk us through what's happening for you. You're in LA, you're in isolation, it's your birthday. How are you coping in ISO?
I'm losing my mind a little bit. Kind of like, yeah, I came straight from the airport because obviously you have to self-quarantine or whatever. So, yeah, just been locked up in my apartment, writing music. I'm eating a lot, getting out of control.
Sure.
I'm with my sister. I live with my sister here, and my girlfriend's with me, and my manager, because we were traveling together, so we're all... There's four of us in the house.
Oh, that's some good music, guys. His sister, Grace, by the way, is an amazing singer who's in her own right. So there's a musical house right now.
I was going to ask him Sorry, mate. I was going to ask you about just some loving, but you said you've got a girlfriend. I didn't know you had a girlfriend, so I'm not going to ask that question. You get pretty lonely by yourself.
Yeah, no, it's been... I couldn't handle that. I'd go completely insane if I was... by myself, so it's nice. I got a couple of people. We got a piano in the house, and we got guitars, and you know, there's a lot of music, a lot of drinking, a lot of eating, and kind of like a forced holiday. So,
Conrad, what's LA like at the moment? We've seen pictures of New York, and the streets are just empty and desolate. What's the vibe in LA like?
It's still everything's like shut, like everywhere else in the world, but there's still people like going for walks and stuff like that, but it's pretty, LA traffic is, like, worse in the world, and there's no cars on the street, that kind of thing, do you know what I mean? So it is, I've never ever seen it like this before. So
yeah, well,
I mean,
Conrad,
I think New York obviously is so much worse. So
yeah, absolutely. New York is by far the worst, but LA is still doing it tough in isolation. Just quickly, mate, obviously a lot of artists have got behind these. We are offering a service here, Fifi, Feb and Byer, and the whole team with Leon and Mikey, our audio guy. We're actually helping out artists if you want to push out a hand-washing song. We actually write it for you, and then you just go, yep, love it, and you just approve it. So are you ready to hear our one using one of your hits?
Of course, I'd love to hear it.
Here we go.
Oh, that's amazing.
You didn't sound as excited as we'd hoped.
It's better than the original.
Oh, that's more like it, Conrad Sewell. Thanks for joining us here as Healing Hands. And make sure you download the Artists Unite for Firefight album available now. Take care, bro.
Cheers, guys. Take care. You too.
101.9 The Fox.
Last night, maths, Michael and Stacey, seemingly the only solid couple left. I mean, everybody else is leaving and in all sorts of trouble. Michael and Stacey, many believed in this couple. Anyway, everyone's sitting around the dinner table. Tash gets up to propose a toast. And you think, oh, this is nice, just proposing a toast to a successful couple. Ugh.
I'd like to toast to Stacey and Michael for having the fakest relationship in Australian reality TV history. And I'd like to toast to Stacey for f***ing my husband on the 1 month anniversary. Cheers to you, babe.
What?
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 Oh.
Now, I have to be honest, Bev. That was not the episode for me to miss last night, but I've missed it. I can't believe what's gone down.
A scorcher.
And we know that there was somebody there at the dinner table, knows the ins and outs of what went down, and he joins us now. Ivan, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh,
We're good.
And I just want to kick it off by saying, did she or didn't she? Stacey, what's the deal? Did she cheat on Michael?
I wasn't cheating, I don't think. My opinion, it wasn't cheating, whatever went down. I can say, Mikey, if you jump on his socials this morning, he's done a polygraph test in which he scored pretty well and accurately. I can only comment on, you know, what you saw unfold last night, which was, you know, we were all having a drink in the room. There were some clothes dropped to me. There was a door slam the next morning. There was the next door room from us. Look, nothing against Stacey as a person. She's a top chick, and I can understand that she's, you know, protecting a reputation or integrity of some sorts. But yeah, I know what I know, I guess. And Mikey's my mate. He didn't want it to come out. But the rumour mill started before he got a chance to speak, so he just came to the dinner party to clear the air.
It did, Ivan, and you're our favourite on the show, Byron and mine. We love you.
Oh, you've
we
been
love
brilliant.
You on the show. Now, you say a bag of clothes got dropped off to your room. Now, that means Mikey would have either had to take a change of clothes to your little drink and your Monopoly playing, or he left the room nude. How is there a bag of clothes?
I think he just gaffed it in the morning in his undies, to be honest, because like where the apartment complex we're staying in, we're all the contestants or cast or whatever you want to call us, were on the same floor, so it was sort of like just opposite rooms from each other, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it wasn't
I understand that.
Sneak away early hours in the morning. Everyone's in bed. He's just ducked into his own apartment.
He's not grabbing an Uber, Fev. Like he's only got to go down a corridor.
Yeah,
I think.
No, but he's not going to. He's got to put his clothes on. And why was it dropped off a week later? I don't understand that.
I just think they were lingering around, but there was just no urgency, really. As I said, like until the cat got let out of the bag. I mean, Stacey, Mikey, myself, we're all comfortable, and you know, with what had gone on, for it not to come out. But then things changed drastically once the girls found out about it and got wind of it. Natasha, Haley, etc., they were going to bring it up with some aggression either way. So Mikey, that was his time to, I guess, fess up and tell the truth and be honest, which is what you saw him do last night.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to Sunday because it's a he said, she said sort of thing. Same as the Michael and Haley saga. Haley, but you are friends with Mikey. Now, I've heard that Mikey had got threatened by Stacey's ex-husband.
Ooh.
And put into like a little bit of a care, like hidden away. Is that right?
definitely not by Stacey's ex-husband. There was something there. I don't want to speak out of turn there because, you know, there was a somewhat form of an investigation involved. And, yeah, I think it was in our daily telly in Sydney.
The police put him in isolation, didn't they? Is that right?
Yeah, look, I don't want to speak about anything involving, you know, police investigation. It's not really my place.
Smart of him. Yeah, it's the right call.
Yeah, there was something that went on there.
And by the way, Fev, everyone's in isolation, so I don't know if that's really a punishment.
No, because I'll tell you what happened.
This was a while ago.
Some bad people from Adelaide, but we won't go into that. I don't know if it was bad people necessarily.
I think it might have just been some internet warriors. But,
Now, Ivan, let's talk about you and your bride. You did leave with each other, and you didn't get on the couch. You bailed, which I loved. Now, I think you two were together.
Yeah, look, I mean, as I'm saying to everyone, I like to live in TV time. We all know it was filmed. You know, there's a bit of a delay. But mine and Alex's story is a really beautiful one and one that I'm really proud of. And so for that fact, mate, we last night you saw us come back. You know, as a pretty strong unit and, you know, working through things day at a time.
That's really surprising and good. Like,
now, Boxy, Ivan stayed true to her the whole way through and they had a great relationship and I think they're perfect. And if something's going to come out of this show, there's a lot of saga and hatred and people going off at each other. But two lovebirds falling in love together is brilliant.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Look, again, like I said, I'm in TV time, so... I'm paying the respect to our relationship. You know, we've got a really good thing, myself and Alex. There is a little bit of internet chatter and negativity going around amongst some of the social media platforms and spoilers and aggression and things like that. Mm. I just want to steer clear of it. And like I said, pay my respects to the relationship as it pans out.
Just one more, Ivan, because I know you and Michael had a bit of a love-hate relationship and it turned towards, you know, the darker side towards the end. Did you get a bit of satisfaction watching him sit there? And I think a cat got his tongue. He did not say a word last night because he got cheated on.
Yeah, look.
Michael's
a shit stirrer. I've had a beer with him since. You know, we had a little altercation that got a lot more heated than what you saw on Boys Night. I got edited to look like the pussy in that scenario, but I actually think I came out on top on the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. But since then, we've had a drink together. I feel sorry for him because he was head over heels for her. You know, some people are comfortable talking about certain things, and he was just a straight shooter. He doesn't, you know, beat around the bush. There was, you know, some misconstrued information that he sort of comes out with and accuses before he knows the whole story. But all in all, I think...
Mate, he's kicking goals now. He's dating Casey. He's going well.
Well, I don't want to confirm or deny that.
There he goes.
He confirmed it. It's fine. All right. I already spoke to him.
I did catch up with him recently.
Did you now? And Casey was probably there as well. Anyway, Ivan, what a legend.
Well done, Ivan.
Always been great for our show. We appreciate it, mate. I know in those early episodes you seem to need to go to the bathroom a lot. I hope that bladder issue is also cleared up.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I don't think he was doing a wee, Byron.
You're listening to edited highlights of Fifi, Feb and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. To get the whole show, subscribe to the Daily Catch-Up podcast, exclusive to the Fox app.
Now, guys, I graduated into adulthood yesterday. For a number of years, I've been telling you that I haven't got a certain thing, and you both give me a lot of flack for it. We've had callers call up and say, how could you possibly not have this? You need to have this. You have a wife. You have four daughters. I got a will done yesterday, guys.
Oh, wow. How depressing. It's done. I mean, not a fun process, Fev.
Oh, my God. It's an awful process.
Particularly when there's a global pandemic happening.
Yeah, well, that's why we got it done. Well, just in case one of us dropped off.
But important.
Now,
important.
Yeah, with the coronavirus, Boxy, it's very important to have a will. Now, we had to sign some legal documents, so we had to go out of the house, which was awful. So I had gloves on and we did all that sort of gear and we had to go to the lawyer Dennis. To sign our will, because I didn't know this had been, I didn't even peel back the band-aid. I didn't do any of it. So they've all been drawn up. Alex has organised it all. So we get in there and we're signing the legal documents for something else. And then all of a sudden he pulls out the wills. And I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, Brendan, you just need a sign here. And I'm like, okay, well, what is in the will? Because I didn't do it. Alex did it. So everything goes to Alex, which is fair enough, and, you know, goes into a trust to look after the kids. It's a God, it's a bad process. You've got to talk about the medical, you know, switch off the machine and all that sort of stuff. Okay. And all this sort of stuff you've got to go down. So Alex has got control over everything, which is great.
Good.
I love that. She's my wife. Perfect. That's how I want it. Yeah. All the soup, everything. You know, you all know how a will works.
Yeah.
So then we got to Alex's will. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, perfect. So he didn't actually, he actually went through Alex's will, where mine, it was just, you just sign it, mate. You'll be fine. Because it had all Alex on it. So, yeah. She goes, there's a bit difference to yours, Alex. Now, if Alex does something that does happen to Alex, now Brendan and Mia will both be, sorry, what?
Your eldest
will
daughter.
Be control of the money. And I said, well, how was Mia on the will? And she goes, now, Brendan, we need to have a joint. And I, and then we started having an argument with each other. And the bloke's got, Dennis is like, now, I don't think you guys have discussed this. So I'm not quite sure whether you should sign. I said, discussed it? I don't even bloody know about it. How is Mia looking after my money? And she goes, because you'll spend it at the bloody tab, you idiot. And then we had nothing left for the kids. And I'm like, ah, just let me sign it. Sign it. I had to sign the paper. God. So what's happened there?
So if that terribly unfortunate situation happened, which it won't, and yeah, this is the great thing, hopefully this is all hypothetical, Mia owns you.
We have pretty much.
1019 The Fox.
Now, other than people who are getting out and about for reasons like work, medical reasons, essential needs, everybody is in lockdown, in this isolation, this self-isolation. And sometimes it can be tough where you are isolated. And we caught up last week with Beck. Now, Beck's in Berwick and living with her ex-boyfriend. And before they've had a chance to move out or move on to somewhere else, they're now in isolation together. Beck, welcome back to the show. How's isolation going, Beck?
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good. How are you and David going?
Oh, it's been tough. I'm not going to lie. Definitely been tough. It's a weird, weird situation that we're in.
Well, it is, Beck. Now, there's no way out of this situation at the moment. You just have to sit in the lounge room and fight over the remote. Have you found ways of avoiding each other in the house?
We pretty much just keep to ourselves, really. He'll just play a lot of PlayStation, and I'll just sort of stay in. I moved into the spare room. It's just, sort of isolated in isolation. It's, really weird.
Now, Beck, you may recall, I mean, there's really only one thing Fev wants to ask you, and last week he went down that direction.
Do you reckon you will, like, maybe hang out together in the bedroom?
Ooh.
Okay. I don't think so.
I reckon you will. Now, Beck. Now, Beck. Have you had a drink together? Have you been drinking any alcohol or?
I've been drinking a lot of wine to pass the time.
Yes.
But not really, not together, no. Right. I mean,
so you haven't ventured into his room at all?
No, practicing safe social distancing.
Very, very responsible, Beck.
Well, that's very responsible.
Has he tried?
Yeah.
Has David tried?
No.
You paused a bit there.
This is a very convincing breakup, Beck. I'm brilliant.
We've been very respectful. It's been, considering the circumstances, it has been really hard, but we're sort of just stuck in this at the moment, so taking it day by day.
Has there been any flirting or?
Fev.
Well, you can't just, it's your ex-partner. Like, you loved him at one stage. You can't just be totally bang when you're living together. It's got to be some sort of.
I know. It's so weird because normally in a breakup, you can go and see your friends and your family and you can get away from each other, but we're seeing each other every day. And of course, it's hard because it's still fresh as well. So,
Beck, we're going to keep touching base with you. Living with your ex-boyfriend during this is going to be challenging. And my tip to you, you're just going to have to start making stuff up for Fev. You're going to have to just start.
Just break the walls. Just have a cuddle. Everyone wants a cuddle.
It'll cuddle.
People out there can't cuddle anyone. You're living with your ex. Just a cuddle.
I know. It's lonely time.
There we go. Well, we probably shouldn't tell Beck.
David's playing Fortnite.
Well, our expert, Dr. Swan, who obviously we can't put a time limit on this, but he did. He obviously warned us it could still be quite a while before we can leave.
It could be months.
I think
he
said Christmas 2027.
No, he did not say Christmas.
Metricon, the easy way at Mandalay with 5% deposit and no repayments until completed. Conditions apply. 101 now.